At 256 miles from its headwaters to the Pacific Ocean, the Klamath River is not a terribly long waterway, but its journey from east of the Cascades in Oregon to the ocean in California, it becomes a body of water that is in great demand. More demand, it turns out, than its water can supply. Between the needs of fish and farmers and native tribes and electric power generation systems, there have been more promises made than the water can deliver. A series of agreements between people with a stake in the Klamath still hold the possibility of peace on the river, but there's still a way to go. And in the middle of this comes a new documentary film about to be released. It is the work of, among others, Jason Atkinson, who served parts of Jackson and Josephine counties in the state legislature for 14 years, first as a House member, then as a senator. He comes from a political family. His father, Perry Atkinson, is a longtime religious broadcaster and the former chair of the Oregon Republican Central Committee. Among many other pursuits, Jason Atkinson is the author of a book called Inside Out, a book of conversations with Oregonians about conservation issues. His upcoming documentary is called A River Between Us. Jason, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So the documentary sounds like a continuation of the work you started with the book. Talk about the decision to commit to doing this.
Boy, that's a big question. I think I need more coffee for that.
Take a sip when needed.
The book, actually, I've been writing now for several years. I started writing for Huffington Post, actually. I started writing, it was sadly odd for a Republican to really enjoy fish and conservation issues. And so I started writing about that, and those writings actually turned into this last book. This is my second and a half book I've been involved with. So the book kind of was a nice distraction to focus on. And what that's about really is I was asked to write about a bunch of federal issues that, quite honestly, are horrifically boring. And the only people that care about them are policy folks, frankly.
Thanks for not using the word wonk.
I said, no, I'm not going to write that. I wouldn't even read it if I wrote it myself. How boring. And so it turned into, how about I go around the entire state of Oregon and talk to my friends and tell story about them and then ask them what their opinions are of these federal issues in it. And then we really had something. So, for instance, now 92-year-old Frank Moore from the North Umpqua on the south coast, a guy who stormed the beaches at Normandy and came back to become, the godfather of all things fly fishing. Mia Shepherd, who's a friend of mine, a guide on the John Day. Brad Winters, who I'm a huge fan of. He's a county commissioner in Lake County. And so, we went around the state and did it. But the film, to answer your larger question, I've been interested in film. I've been interested for my whole life in good story and the power of story. And I grew up in media and words and radio and pictures and how all those things go together. And I started playing with film, just for myself. I'd make, like kids, you'd start making funny fish movies about your dog and, just like four steps above, family video, here's our vacation slides.
Right.
I was trying to be a little bit better than that. And I had been a veteran on the Klamath work for so long and I'll never admit how involved I've been. But for a variety of reasons, had worked very closely with the Bush administration right before he left office. And he'll never get the credit from the right, and he'll never get the credit from the left. But we wouldn't be where we're at today without what George W. Bush did about 6 weeks before he left office. About 3 months or 4 months later, Schwarzenegger flies up to Salem. And with Oregon Governor Kulongoski, they sign a pair of agreements, and these agreements become this larger framework and largely leads to Oregon's portion of the settlement. And both of them sign and hand the pen to a five-year-old kid with a clip-on tie that his mother bought him, who's my son. And so I have a picture in my office of the two governors handing their pens to my son. And great, you know, we've got it done. Five generations of Atkinsons on this river. We're going to have this thing taken care of. It's done. And then everything falls apart about over the course of the next year. Politics screws it up. County commissioners in Klamath start losing, start getting, you know, removed from office over this support of this agreement. And it starts to get, as New York Times said, Republicans killed dam removal project. You know, it started to get really angry, hyper-partisan. And so here I was, a veteran of all this, and I had seen the power of film, and I knew, loved the power of film, because film, if done correctly and done in a way of which you treat the audience as smart. I know I watch a lot of film, but you know, some of these documentaries will try to lead the audience somewhere. And I have always been insulted by that. I mean, I don't need Michael Moore telling me what to think, and nor do I need somebody on the right telling me what to think. So I said, here's something very powerful. What if we went around politics altogether and made something national, so that we could actually, instead of something about the Klamath, we actually show that this divided, longest water war in the West is actually the path forward for the whole country on these issues. Well, that's a very different film. And so I recruited, it took me a year to get the team that I wanted. And I'll tell you, Jeff, I got turned down. And then I met this guy named Jeff Martin.
Okay, let's hold it there, because he's a good story in itself, and we're right on the verge of a break here. So let's take that now. Jason Atkinson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, former Oregon State Representative, former Oregon State Senator, out of office a couple of years now, and is the co-producer with Jeff Martin of A River Between Us, a documentary about the Klamath River. We'll talk more about that with Jason and take your phone calls and emails when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Our guest today is former Oregon State Senator Jason Atkinson, who was one time considered a candidate for governor of Oregon. Never quite made it all the way to the primary 4 years ago, but who knows what the future might hold. Right now, what it holds is the completion of a documentary he's been working on about the Klamath River called A River Between Us. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So you're saying you looked high and low for somebody to be your co-producer on this, and finally latched on to Jeff Martin.
Well, yeah, finally wore him down and talked him into it. But he, the thing about Jeff that was great is that, you know, I knew the politics probably too well. A lot of folks in Oregon don't recognize or appreciate just how much tribal politics there are south in Northern California, and I had, you know, long relationships, and then, you know, I couldn't make a fish movie. As much as I am passionate about catching steelhead, if I made a fish movie, I preached to a narrow choir. And I didn't want to make a political movie, because if you make a political movie, only people that are motivated by politics will watch the movie, and none of those three, you know, politics and fish, and then, you know, historical things, none of those things reach the critical mass of changing culture. They're great regionally, but they don't change. You know, as I said for 3 years, I said, we're going to make this matter to someone that takes a subway to work. That's what we're going to do.
So you're really making a national movie about this regional issue.
Right. When I got to Jeff, you know, Jeff, very smart person, very well read, but fish and politics and frankly agriculture and Native Americans were just new to him. And so he had a certain innocence about helping pull the story out. And, you know, as documentaries are, you don't have a script. So it's a journey of discovery all in itself. So it, Yeah, Jeff was great. And then we arguably got the best cinematographer in the Northwest, Jim Standridge. We unscrewed the door of an airplane and strapped him in it and nearly froze him to death a couple of times flying from Crater Lake to the ocean. And we just plodded along until we got it done.
It's a very slick piece of work, as reflected, at least from what we can see in the trailer so far. Let me play you just a little clip of the trailer.
The Klamath River Basin stands to become the largest river restoration project in the United States history. Bigger than the Everglades, bigger than anything we've attempted before.
There are communities hanging on by a thread. We have got to have some stability.
Anybody who's been seriously involved in water issues in this basin has received death threats.
Anyone that could kill and murder hundreds of thousands of fish didn't belong here.
That's just a clip from the trailer for A River Between Us. Jason Atkinson is the co-writer, co-producer, and narrator of the film, former Oregon State Senator, and our guest on The Exchange. You were talking about your frame of reference on the Klamath River, five generations. Explain that, please.
My great-grandfather was one of the first group of people, all fishermen, fly fishing. Let me back up. Fly fishing for steelhead really hadn't been invented up in England, in England, they had fly fished with these super long bamboo rods and lines made out of horsehair, catching salmon and then Atlantic salmon. And then it was on the East Coast. And then fly fishing took a hold in San Francisco, of all places, and then the Russian and the eel. And the Klamath River was the third largest salmon run on the West Coast. It's actually a very long river. If you look at all of it at one piece, it's upside down. It starts in a desert and ends in the redwoods. It's a very odd, hard to get to place. And around the turn of the century, actually after World War I, a little bit later, in the late teens, early 20s. Fly fishing for steelhead started to move up, and the Rogue hadn't really been discovered, and the North Umpqua hadn't really been discovered, and certainly the Deschutes and, you know, all the rivers that are so famed. But the first big one was the Klamath, and my great-grandfather was wrapped up in that, and he adopted two boys, one of which was my grandfather, my hero, and who is my father's father, and I have a boy. So, you know, that's five. And my grandfather, Big Tom, was not a political person. He was an Eisenhower Republican. He was leave me alone. And I, you know, hunt, fish, and respect. You know, I, as a kid, was drug taken to all of these Native American things as kids. I mean, if you look back, it's really a wonderful upbringing. You know, you're exposed to completely different cultures that share the same resource. So as I look back on it now, I go, you know, it's really a wonderful preparation for public service and now film. My grandmother was my dad's mother, fiery red hair, little woman. She was a Reagan-hating liberal Democrat.
I had no idea you had this in your bloodline.
Fire breathing. And and she was, you know, I always say she was part of the Lucille Ball era. You know, she wore crisp white linen shirts with the collar slipped up and a perfect hat. And she would fish too. And quite honestly, mostly factual and a lot of lore, she would outfish all the men. And the whole family has seen what has happened over the course of time with the dams, and certainly over the course of time with the division of people. And both of them, the only thing that those two agreed on, frankly, other than their family, of course, was that that this river needed to be fixed. And without getting, you know, overly personal, they told me this was my job. And so
very late in life, I understand. I mean, there's a reference to this in the film about your grandparents said before they died, this is up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I wish they would have told me to go get a paper route or, you know, go stay out of politics and make money, you know, go be happy. But, you know, take on the biggest thing. And, you know, if you're given something, it's, you're supposed to take care of it. And so, you know, that's the same ethic that, frankly, my dad has. He's a mother hen. You know, he takes care of everybody quietly, never takes credit, never, ever. I mean, it's against the ethic to take credit, you know? And so here's my dad, who's been in the Rogue Valley for a very long time as a broadcaster. And what people don't know is that he's the guy that is helping people all the time. So it's, you know, for me, it was this nexus of loving Native Americans, understanding agriculture, having a problem needing to catch more steelhead, and then that ethic. So leads me to the Klamath.
All of it there on the Klamath. We're talking to Jason Atkinson about his documentary film, A River Between Us. Jason, of course, is a former state senator from Jackson and Josephine counties. His father, Perry Atkinson, the one-time chair of the Oregon Republican Central Committee. River Between Us should be finished in a couple of weeks, we understand. We'll get into that in a few moments. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Haven't asked the question squarely, but it sure sounds like you are in support of removing those four dams from the Klamath River.
Absolutely. Those four dams do nothing. They don't do anything for water storage. They don't do anything for flood control, and they do zero for irrigation.
Well, they create power.
The bottom three create enough power. They don't create enough power for Ashland. And the top one, the one that's in Oregon, the John C. Boyle, is a pulse dam. And so what it does is it pulses power. It doesn't always make power. It pulses. And that one does make power, but by modern standards, by the fact that, like PacifiCorp, for instance, they will take power-generating assets all over the Northwest to feed a community. So the Klamath Falls, for instance, might be getting their power from Utah through their grid. Mm-hmm. The modern practices makes those four dams obsolete, and that's where the business case for removal came. The power company is fine with removing them because it would cost more to update them than it would be to remove them.
And so, in fact, if you're a Pacific Power customer and look at your bill, you will actually see line items in there for removing the dams already.
And on the Oregon side and the California side, not necessarily. And one of the problems that this whole movement has faced was there was always the belief that there was a federal appropriation that Congress needed to act. Well, the reason why that was perceived is because when Schwarzenegger and Kulongoski signed the agreement, Oregon acted and California didn't. California in that year was supposed to pass a water bond. And it was 6-7 years later, this last November,
right,
that Jerry Brown put all of his political muscle into passing that bond. So the fact that California had a drought, as bad as that is, the silver lining was they passed their water bond, and now the Klamath needs zero money from the federal government.
Really, none? I mean, because I mean, you get Ron Wyden coming through, the senator from Oregon, saying that we're going to need to get at least $300 million out of the federal government for the dam removal part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of strategy behind Senator Wyden, who is a friend of mine. But if you look at the hard numbers today, and it's probably not very good for radio, and you look at the amount of money that both states now have and the cost of removal is less than the amount of money that we are going to have in the account, so to speak, for removal. So there's a lot of finesse. There's a lot of government speak here, but the bottom line is that we really don't need an appropriation.
Let us take a call. We have Dennis and Wairika on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jason Atkinson.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
You know, one thing, you know, save the dams, one thing, you know. And all the talk I've heard from other various stations and stuff on the subject of salmon, they never mentioned about the Japanese coming over here with the 3,000-foot gill nets, netting the salmon before they even get back into the rivers over here. And then they blame the farmer for all the problems and shortages of fish, which there is not. They've been around for over 300 million years, you know. I think they can kind of fare on their own, you know. But the U.S. government gets paid from the Japanese government to come over here and net the fish.
Okay, that's a new one on me, but let's get a response from Jason Atkinson. Thanks for that, Dennis. Anything you've heard about that, Jason?
I haven't heard about us, the United States, paying for. I was in a meeting a week ago, actually, at the Academy of Sciences in San Francisco with the head of Fish and Wildlife for California. And this subject did come up, and he and that agency is very committed to making sure that there's no, you know, illegal harvest of our salmon in our waters. And for a long time, that actually, Dennis makes an interesting point, because there was always two problems with in the old way of doing conservation. And the one was, let's beat on rural America up at the headwaters of rivers, not necessarily the Klamath, but whether it be the, you know, the Willamette or the Deschutes or whatever. And let's focus our energy and lawsuits there. And the problem was then, as Dennis brings up, is you had offshore trawlers on the northern shore of British Columbia scooping up our fish. So these fish, our salmon, for instance, will swim out of the United States water, swim past Canada, and swim back to the U.S. and Alaska. And for the longest time, there was that was going on. So you had this headwaters, and you had this, what Dennis brings up, Japanese issue. I'm not an expert on that, but as I have understood, that was largely put to rest about 6 or 7 years ago. I haven't heard it since, but I could be wrong.
All right. We're talking again about the River Between Us, which is the documentary film that you, Jason Atkinson, have co-produced with Jeff Martin. I want to hear another bit of the, I want to play another bit of the trailer here. So let's hear another cut from it.
It's neighbor against neighbor that really breaks my heart.
The federal government put them up the river, and they created this whole community based on water, and that's a high desert.
They were not here. Neither were the Coho.
Look at the tribal legends.
Oh, screw the tribal legends.
I think that they still see this as a win for the Indians. I think that that scares them.
Well, I think there's racism in this country. I think there's racism in the world. I think the valley is reflective of that.
No more just red tape. We say it's white tape.
I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat or Tea Party or progressive or green. I don't care. Fix this issue.
Another chunk of the trailer for River Between Us, the documentary about the Klamath River. So, Jason Atkinson, you say in that same trailer that this is a story about Americans at their finest. In what sense?
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday was MLK Day. And during the making of this film, in life you have, at least for me, I have a few pieces of literature that I always go back to. I have a few pieces of poetry that I always go back to, and they inspire you. And for me, I have always been shaken by MLK's letter from a Birmingham jail. It just bothers me. And so here is Martin Luther King in jail, and the local clergy is saying, we don't need you here. This is a local problem. And he is arguing about the morality of humanity in this letter. It's a fascinating study. It's something I get every year. And on the Klamath River, you have 100 years of dams. You have the only waterway in the lower 48 where there's zero community of interest from the top to the bottom. I mean, the upper Klamath in Oregon is a different planet from Requa down at the mouth on the Pacific. The kids don't play sports together. They don't listen to the same media or see the same media. It's a different country. It's a different planet. So you have these divisions. And you have generations. It's interesting. So my boy is generation 5. I have really worked hard to find a 7th generation settler family. I'm sure there's one or two out there. Six generations hard. There's still a few of us, I guess, that are five generations. But to a tribe, to someone who's been there for millennium, when we start saying, well, I've been here five generations, as if that means something, that's actually a slight. So, you know, you've got 100 years, you've got multi-generations of people accepting things the way they were. You have the Klamath tribe being taken from. They were the second wealthiest, or some would say the wealthiest tribe in the country. And they were, their tribe was effectively decommissioned, and the lumber was sold, and tribal members were paid, which a lot of people still have hard feelings about. And they blew through the cash, and the new owners of the forest made millions. And so I say all those examples because there's generational hatred, there's generational hard feelings. And what we've found is some of the best people in America put all that aside and started to love their neighbor. That's the best America has.
And that is the focus of A River Between Us, Jason Atkinson's documentary. We'll come back and talk more with Jason and take more of your phone calls and emails when we return to the Jefferson Exchange, in a minute 20. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. We're talking today to Jason Atkinson, former Oregon State Senator and House member, and from a political family, his father, Perry Atkinson, longtime religious broadcaster, former head of the Oregon Republicans. Jason Atkinson is now a filmmaker. He has just about finished the work on A River Between Us about the issues in the Klamath Basin, the many, many issues about water overpromised and unable to deliver on many of those promises. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the issues in the Klamath Basin and the film itself. 800-838-3760 around the region by email jx@jeffnet.org. And let me give you another chunk from the trailer, and you probably will know the first voice. It's Oregon's Governor John Kitzhaber.
It's that they were, these decisions all made sense at the time that they were made, but the problem is they overallocated the basin and created bitter disputes.
People don't even think about, what am I living on? Whose back am I living on?
A dozen different ways to make power, but there's only one Klamath River, and there's only one salmon run that God made.
Because you are praying for the wrong thing. You're praying for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You're not praying for the right thing.
A lot of voices in the trailer that we've seen of A River Between Us, Jason Atkinson, and I wish I could convey on the radio the beauty of some of those images, like when the guy is talking about the Klamath River and power generation. The pictures of the fish underwater are just staggering. But I want to come back to then all the people you talked to. You got Governor Kitzhaber here. You clearly have people on all sides of the issue. Is there anybody you didn't talk to about it? And is any viewpoint not represented in this film?
No. We worked very, very, very hard to get it right. And the thing is that we've did so many interviews. I mean, interview after interview, but not everything made the film. And there was some folks in there that honestly I didn't want to put in when I saw their comments, because it was really angry, or it was really conspiracy oriented, and it just to do that, to put some of the extremes in the film. I mean, I respected them. I never called anybody out. I never set anybody up. In fact, there was one person who disagrees with me passionately, and in the film, the voiceover, I say that this person makes a great point. You know, I mean, I go over the top to make sure people are treated with respect and fairness. But what we found, you go and you comb through the politics, you comb through all the views, and then where's the heart of the story? You know, where does this matter to someone in New York? And the story is and it hit us about a year and a half ago. Why people are responding, so we've tested this, you know, we tested in the Rocky Mountains, we tested people on the East Coast, pet test audiences. And the reason why it works is not because of the fish. It's not because of cowboys and agriculture and Indians. It's not. It's not because it's beautiful. It works. And the reason why it has the power to change culture is that the good news that is in this film is that these hardened people turned and started living the Beatitudes. And it's not a Christian movie. I'm not saying that, but that's what happened. So blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are those who mourn. And so now you're watching this film. That it just happens to play out here. But, you know, you heard it in that little trailer segment. This guy says, well, I was praying for the wrong thing. And I'm supposed to go make peace with my neighbors. Now, if that's not the greatest thing in humanity, what is? You know, we have this divided country, hyper-partisan. You know, you have a culture today where we, as my saying is, we consume the news that we most agree with, right? Uh-huh. There's not a lot of good news out there. And these people decided to, let's put it all aside. Let's work this out. And the end result is the largest conservation project in American history. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
So let me get the viewpoint again. You're saying that this can be done without congressional action?
I'm not prepared to answer that question today. I think Congress needs to Congress. There's a role for Congress. I think the fact that the House of Representatives killed this bill in December is a tragedy. But nothing that the coalition that's holding all this together, nothing that the coalition on the ground can't endure. And people are far beyond hope at this point. They're far beyond, gee, I hope this works, and they're just committed. There's nowhere else in the country where 42 groups have gotten together to make a deal.
We haven't mentioned my name yet, but we're talking about the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement, and the more recent version, the Upper Klamath Basin. I forget what the C stands for, but it's an agreement.
Yeah, right. But the interesting thing is there's three tribes. There's irrigators, there's fishermen, there's sports groups, there's conservation groups, there's political groups, there's people, everyone who's got a stake. 46, actually the numbers, I say in the film 42, and then I've been corrected, it's 46. Groups spent 10 years to hammer it all out. And you can't hammer that out with lawyers. You hammer that out with relationships. You learn to trust people. And that's what happened.
Let us take another call. We have Gerald in Central Point on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jason Atkinson. His film is A River Between Us.
Hi, thanks. I was just wondering if this film might be able to be seen at the upcoming Ashland Independent Film Festival in early April. It'd be great to be able to get to, you know, local audiences, you know, have one of the first cracks at it.
That is a great question, Gerald. Thanks for that. So where will it be seen, Jason?
I hope in Ashland. You know, we just got the thing wrapped up, and we started submitting to festivals. And certainly Ashland's important. I grew up in Ashland. So we're doing the national festival circuit. We're probably going to premiere it. And what's really neat about the premiere is that we're going to have both Kitzhopper and Kulongoski co-host it, which is a very Oregon thing. You know, it's very, you got these two Democrat governors, this Republican filmmaker on this Oregon topic, you know. So we're going to do that, and we're looking for our national distribution partner. For all the time we spent to build the movie, I spent the same amount of time to build a campaign behind the movie to drive audience. So, you know, we I'd love to, you know, we've got Netflix, Hulu, Nat Geo. We've got those, and we're trying to find a home for it, and then we'll drive audience. The thing is that the largest base of support I have for this whole thing is on the East Coast, which is sad and also very great at the same time. It's sad that it was so hard to raise money at home to do this. It was almost impossible. And it's good because the audience on the East Coast wants to see this. It's intriguing, and it's shot in a way that it holds the audience. So I hope soon it'll be out.
Are you concerned that some of the facts of the film will change over time? Because one of the things we're faced with, I understand, is that with the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement and the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement, I think that in the first 60 days of this year, any party can begin the process of undoing the agreements, can't they? And they could just expire by themselves at the end of the year.
Yes. The coalition's going to hold together beyond the 60 days. I can say that with confidence. I'm confident that they'll hold together. And one of the problems with making a film like this is time stamping it, you know, is giving it that sense of, you know, it's so political. It's so this happened that, you know, time marches on and now the documentary is no longer valid. So we were very, very sensitive to that making it, and that it'll work today. It'll work 5 years from now.
You mentioned the difficulty with trying to raise money closer to the Klamath River itself, almost impossible. I mean, who were some of the entities you approached, or what sorts of things you were hearing from them anyway?
I had some wonderful help. Some friends in Ashland, I had some wonderful help with the Klamath Basin Rangeland Trust. But these things are hard, you know, and I crowdsourced the first money for the campaign with friends of mine from around the world, frankly. The problem is that, you know, I put my whole career, I put my whole passion of public service on hold because of the guilt of my grandmother to do this. And the time to get it done is now. The time isn't, to, you know, 2020. The time to get all of this work back figured was 2015, and it's taken 4.5 years to get here.
Your grandmother, the Reagan-hating liberal, you said?
Right. Yeah, I still feel her pressure. But it was really hard, and I think because I was in public service, and I think there's a certain tar that sticks to you where your motivations are suspect, where, you know, people look at you very partisanly, people, judge your intentions, your motivations. So, frankly, I had to go to the East Coast. And I'm a fellow with the Aspen Institute, and the community at the Aspen Institute really pulled me in and believed in this change the world ethic. You know, you can do big things if you just set your mind to it. The Orvis Company in Manchester, Vermont came on. The Turner Foundation came on. Eventually, the Murdoch Trust in Vancouver came on, and we're still raising money. We raise it all through the Klamath Basin Rangeland Trust, which is a 501c3 in Klamath Falls. So we still have money to raise. But, you know, and the other thing is that, you know, why would you put money into a film? You know, it's not exactly a good business model. So talk about pushing rocks uphill. But now that the film's done, and now that there's power behind it, now you can see how it's going to change culture. And now we've got a national movement that I'm holding back until, you know, until we're ready to go. Now it's easier for people to feel in touch and get involved with. And, you know, there's more than a film here. There's a movement. And, you know, there's a lot of interest. Field and Stream, New York Times, a lot of Northwest regional publications, and you know, the word is slowly getting out there, as slow as I'm trying to make it, but there's a movement because people want to see not necessarily my river fixed, they want to see that there's a better way to do it, and that's exciting.
You mentioned the political tar that tends to stick to you from having been in the legislature for 14 years. I mean, has anybody said, oh, come on, this is just your resume tape for Atkinson for governor 2018?
No, nobody's really said that directly because they see the film and I actually debated whether or not I would be in it. The reason that I'm in it is because of the connection and the passion and the fact that I did most of the interviews. I would have been much better if Sam Elliott would have voiced it, you know. I mean, but I can't afford Sam Elliott. Even though he lives somewhere in Oregon, I couldn't find him, you know.
So you're stuck with Jason Atkinson.
Oh, you're stuck with, fortunately, I grew up in radio, so I know how to talk into a microphone. But, you know, about a year and a half ago, we were doing this little segment, which in the film, you have to show that I'm not politically motivated. You have to show that I have the authority to tell a film, right? So it's really delicate. And so we made this little bio thing, and here's why Jason can tell this story segment. And I was very uncomfortable with it. And we kept cutting it. And then there was the thing with the leg and getting shot and all that. And we cut that out, and we started testing it. And there's it too much. Cut it. Minimize me. I'm not the story. I'm not running for anything right now. All that stuff. And we put this segment in there. And this word, this phrase I wrote, it's very passionate. And I say, I love this place, which I do. I do love this place. And while I say that, I have my big yellow lab dog in a drift boat with her head on my arm, asleep, and I'm rowing backwards. I'm rowing the boat. And when people see that, they go, yeah, he's a dog guy. We'll watch his movie.
All right. Well, we'll see where it's available. The movie is called The River Between Us. Still working on distribution details. Jason Atkinson and Jeff Martin put it together. Jason Atkinson's been our guest today in The Exchange. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks.